Hello and welcome to the Ritual of Misery podcast. This is the show where two lifelong friends talk about geek stuff and whatever else comes to mind. I'm Amos.
I'm Kent.
And we're here to talk to you about whatever we feel like. So, hey Kent, man, how you been this week?
Pretty good. I had
Let me guess. It's been another long week.
Oh, always, man, always. But a very important milestone happened this week.
You had a baby?
Almost as big as that.
All right, let's tone it back a little bit. Let's go with you bought a car.
No. Bigger than house. That.
Bought a house.
No.
Dude, I give up.
Probably on par with that.
What happened?
I pushed the big button.
The button.
The I intend to retire button.
Oh no. Do we have a date set?
1 September 2015.
1 September. So you'll have been serving in the military for 20 years and one day exactly.
Exactly.
And oh man.
I cannot f***ing wait. Can I say f*** on this? I don't know if we established that.
I can edit it. It's cool. It's cool. We'll roll with it, man. I'll put a little
add a bleep. Yeah. Add a bleep.
I'll put a little Smurfette sound or something in there. So you push the button. You're looking to get out.
Yep, and I cannot wait.
Yeah. What plans do you have afterwards, man?
Hopefully, get some sort of a job and one that I don't hate.
No way. You don't say. That cannot possibly be your plan.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I don't really want a job. I want money.
Income.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
That does affect your quality of life, I think.
Yeah. So hopefully I can find something that I can get some income and not hate it.
Right. Right. Wait, you mean you want to do what you love and love what you do and be able to live off that? No.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Say it isn't so. All right, man. Let's see. For me this week, I think, it's been a long week, but really I just cleared out my garage. I finally got down to it, hit the brass tacks, and really just cleaned out my garage. I got my little recording studio set up.
Beautiful.
I'm not echoing off the wall in front of me. I'm not sitting right next to a stand-up freezer recording all the sound from that. I got my desk set up so I can actually see things in a proper manner. I'm not just like looking all over the place for things, and feels pretty good. It's nice. I got some more touches left to do, but it feels pretty nice.
Very good.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. And that would lead me to my geek thing of the week. In fact,
okay, what you got?
Insert sound here. Dum dum dum. So having moved my desk and my computer and got everything set up, I went ahead and cut the cable, cut the cord like I mentioned last week. Turned in my devices on Friday, like I said, because my billing cycle started on Saturday. Turned in the devices and actually had good cable and good internet all through the weekend. Come Monday, the Suddenlink guy comes along and cuts everything off. The next day, I find a tweet from a buddy of mine, Richard Gunther, talking about how Fox Now is now available on his Apple TV, but Verizon Fios doesn't support it in his area. And I told him I'm on the same thing here, because Suddenlink doesn't support ABC or Disney or ESPN in my area on the Apple TV. Suddenlink got with me and stated that they would be happy to help me with that if I gave them my zip code. So I promptly gave them the zip code and asked them if they could figure out how my cable downgrade and 50 megabit per second upgrade turned into a no cable 3 megabit per second connection. Mm-hmm. And I figured I'd do a little experiment with Suddenlink, going through their tech support to find out exactly how well that would do. And I can tell you, that would be a big fat fail whale.
Fail whale.
Yeah.
That's hard to say.
It is, especially for me, because I don't talk so good. Yeah, it was bad. Eventually, I was driving on my way home today, and I passed a different technician, hooking up somebody else's cable or disconnecting or whatever, and asked him if he'd come over and look at ours. And the guy that came by that did the little connection actually he didn't give me the cable connection. He gave me the internet connection, and I was just getting crappy service through the little filter that he had added.
Huh.
So... yeah, that's there. Now I'm getting pretty good internet now. He did a little service call and got the internet working up again. I now have the basic channels that I'm paying $5 a month for, and it was absolutely no help from Twitter. So, you know, there's that. So now that you've heard my story and my trials and triumphs of lackadaisicalness of Suddenlink, what was the geekiest thing that you did this week?
Oh, man, I've been pretty sheltered. Probably the geekiest thing that I did was go to the cell phone kiosk and look at the iPhone 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, not too exciting because that's old news at this point. But it was my first encounter.
For those of us who've had an iPhone 6 in our pockets, you know, it's old news.
Yeah, well, I got to play with the iPhone 6 for a little while.
Yeah,
and I got to say that's a beautiful piece of hardware.
Yeah, were you playing with the 6 or the 6 Plus or did it matter?
I was playing with the 6.
Okay.
Yeah, it is gorgeous, and I did a side by side comparison. I had one sitting next to a 5C.
Yeah.
And wow, like it's. The resolution is just ridiculously better on the 6.
Yeah.
It seemed to respond a lot faster. It was just beautiful. The hardware is very aesthetic in itself.
Yeah.
But the display is just, it's very nice. And I currently use an iPhone 5, so the whole thumbprint, what is it called? ID?
Touch ID.
Touch ID, thank you. Yeah, that whole thing was new to me, so it was kind of weird feeling the like the abrasiveness of the home button. So that was kind of new to me, but not new to most people, I guess.
Yeah.
yeah. So I really liked the phone. I may end up getting one. They did not have an iPhone 6 Plus at the kiosk.
Right. You were not at a Verizon store or a AT&T store. However, you were
no.
You were at a subsidiary.
Right. Yeah, some contracted vendor, this little kiosk. Because they had Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile,
right.
I think, all in the same little kiosk. But they did, however, have I think it was one of the Samsung models. It was like the biggest one they have. It's like, when I look at it, it looks like a mini iPad mini.
Yeah.
And... I don't know, but the guy, he told me that, yeah, we don't have a 6 Plus, but take a look at this phone here, and it's about this much bigger. The iPhone 6 Plus is about this much bigger than this thing. And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. Because
this thing was gigantic.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
There's no way I would buy this thing and carry this around in my pocket. And the iPhone 6 Plus is bigger than this. No.
If what you were looking at was Samsung Note 2,
I have an iPad Mini at the house.
Yeah,
that's good.
If you're looking at a Note 2, I can say that my 6 is a hair bigger in all respects except for the thickness. It's a little bit thinner, depth wise. But the screen is a lot better on mine than in my perception is that the screen on the iPhone 6 Plus is better than that on the Note 2. And like I said, the 6 itself, it seems to be a really good size. I was astonished last night when I was trying to hook up, introduce my mom to AirPlay on her 5. Going from my 6 Plus to her 5 was like I was dealing with micro machines, man. It was incredulously small. My thumbs kept hitting each other as I was trying to type the password and stuff. It sounds like I'm joking, but it was really that bad.
No, I believe you, because when I spend an hour or so messing with my iPad and then I go and pick up my iPhone, I'm like, holy crap.
Right.
Is this for like, you know, midgets or something? Like, what is this?
I don't think you can say midgets anymore, man.
Oh, crap. Okay, you can bleep that then.
Or I can leave it in and just be honest about it, but whatever. We'll see how the post edit goes. Yeah. Oh, man. So... All right, so you did accomplish the assignment that I gave you last week.
Yes, I did.
And well, at least I can say that I can say I at least in part accomplished the task that you assigned me of looking up Trappist beer.
Yeah. So
I did not take a lot of time to do a lot of research though. So
just to let people know, kind of beer is one of my interests, one of my dare I say passions. I love beer. I'm not one of those guys that I love beer, and you know, he's got a fridge full of like, you know, 7 cases of Bud Light or something like that. No, I said I love beer, not
beer, right? Actual beer. American crap water.
But no, I really love all kinds of beer. I love learning about it. I love tasting it. I write reviews. Ratebeer.com. If anybody. Is familiar with that. I love everything about beer. I think it's fantastic. Well, anyway, Trappist beers is a particular little niche in the beer world, and I'm quite fond of it. I'm a big, huge fan of Trappist beers, and I asked you to look up Trappist beers and just learn a little bit about it and let me know what your thoughts were on what you uncovered.
Well, they do have I noticed they do have several different flavors. What I didn't get on this, is this a microbrew, or is this just an obscure brewery that most Americans, you know, in their idiocy haven't heard of?
Neither, actually. Trappist is an order of Catholic monks.
Right, from France, right?
I think the original Trappist might have been French. It's either French or Belgian. excuse me. And the monks brew beer. Well, that's not incredibly uncommon, because throughout Europe there are many, many, many monasteries that brew beer.
But right. If anybody knows how to make beers, the people that can't talk about the recipes, right?
Right. Yeah, but the Trappists are in a league of their own, though. Not only do they have a standard of quality that's extremely high. They've got certain criteria to consider themselves a Trappist brewery. Let me just run down those real quick. It must be brewed within the walls of a Trappist monastery. I mean, that sounds like it's obvious, right? But in the modern world of brewing, it's very common for people to contract brew. So you and I could start a brewing company and then have, you know, Budweiser brew the stuff for us. You know, that's not allowed for the Trappist. It has to be made by the monks themselves, or you can hire non-monks to actually make the beer, but the operation has to be supervised by a monk.
Right, and it still has to be contained within the monastery itself.
Exactly, right. the business side of the brewery has to be secondary to their monastic way of life. It's a secondary thing. It's not, oh, hey, let's get together and make a brewery, and oh, yeah, let's pray also. It's the other way around. We're monks and we're pure, and let's also do this brewery thing. The other thing is, it has to be, obviously, it's not a profit. It's not a for-profit thing, because it's monks doing it. They're not buying cars and houses and everything like that.
Right. It's not necessarily a business venture. It's a charitable venture.
Right, exactly. And that's one of the things that I love about it. So all of the income that they get for this, first they pay their bills, pay for the brewing equipment and the you know, materials and whatever they need to run the brewery. And then everything else that's left over goes to charitable causes, typically in their local area.
Right.
And then, and I already mentioned the quality of the beers, because the Trappist organization, if a particular brewery, if their quality goes to crap, they're going to lose their Trappist label. They're still going to be Trappist gotcha. Monks. That's, you know, because they're monks first. They're still going to be Trappist monks. There's hundreds of Trappist monasteries around the world. But right. there's only 10 Trappist breweries. And the whole time I was living in Europe, there were 7 Trappist breweries. And I visited all 7 of them, which was an amazing experience. But right before I left Europe, another one opened, an 8th one opened in Austria. Because the other one, 6 of them were in Belgium, one of them in the Netherlands. And then an 8th one opened in Austria just before I left, and I unfortunately didn't have a chance to go visit them. Right. Then when I got back to the States, like immediately after that, 2 more Trappist breweries opened. One of them was the second one in the Netherlands. And then, believe it or not, one right here in the United States.
And most importantly, the one here in the United States, right?
Yeah. And it's in Massachusetts, near Boston. And I'm
going
to make a trip
over. So exactly the opposite side of the country from where you live.
Exactly. But yeah. I want to make an East Coast trip anyway, because one of the places in the United States that I've been really wanting to visit that I've never been is New York City. So I want to be
Same
in that,
here.
You know, New England area. Anyway, I want to do like, you know, I don't know, a week or so trip to that part of the country and, you know, just kind of check some of the boxes of the U.S. that I've been wanting to visit.
Right.
And Boston
I might actually
is now
be heading up there
list.
Early next year.
Really?
Yeah.
Anything
yeah,
in particular
going to pro super
just,
school.
Just because? Oh, wow. That's where the school is at.
Yeah. Yeah. It's up at Dover. Or not at Dover. At what are the crappy bases up there in Jersey?
Yeah.
I hate that place.
I've never been to Jersey.
So so are you? Can you get to the Trappist beer here in the States? I mean, is it like national now, or is it you know, still little pockets here and there? Should I be looking forward to my local beer exchange?
Well, there's one brand that you could probably find right there in beautiful sunny Abilene is Chimay, spelled C H I M A Y, Chimay.
Okay.
They are by far the most commercial out of all of the Trappist breweries. They have the largest distribution, again, by far. They're pretty easy to find. Well, especially in Europe, they're extremely easy to find. But here in the States, it's any beer store that's got more
Worth
than 50
salt.
Bottles is probably going to have it. And it's one of those that you probably overlooked. In fact, you look at it, you might think that it's like a champagne bottle or something like that, because it's they usually don't come in the, you know, standard 12-ounce bottle.
Right. So I have to ask,
your eye out for that.
Is this going to be one of those beers that's super hoppy and IPA style that I'm just going to absolutely hate?
Well, you might hate it. I don't know. It's not going to be super hoppy. It's not like an IPA. But there's a few different styles that the Trappist brew. But most of them are high in alcohol content, hovering around the 10% range. But you kind of got to experiment. Chimay is good. Red, they have 3 different varieties. They've got red, blue, and white. Red is the most common. It's the most popular. It's pretty good. My favorite is actually the blue. But the red is right behind it. It's really good. In fact, if you frequent any beer websites or anything, in particular ratebeer.com, you know that they rate beer based on user input. They rate every beer as, you know, and rank them according to user preference and user preference. I just use geek terms for beer. but based on input from the public, basically. And one of the right. Trappist beers, Vesflateren 12, from St. Sixtus Abbey in Belgium, is consistently the number one beer on the planet.
Wow.
And I had the opportunity about a year and a half ago to go to the brewery and drink some of it. And yes, it was quite amazing.
Quite the definitely, delicious.
Definitely lived up to its hype.
Nice. Very cool. Very cool. I will definitely have to try that. The Chimay. We just had a beer fest here in Abilene like last weekend. I could not make it because of prior engagements. That and I took a freaking nap. So there's a
priorities.
Yeah, there's that. hey, we had soccer all morning, and I'm assistant coach on my twins team. So it was just a whole day of fun in the sun. And by the time it came time to drink beer, I was just, man, I was ready for a nap. So, but I'm glad there's that coming for us. Something else we have coming for us is Microsoft's big announcement this week. I'm sure you heard about this. Announced a new version of Windows. Showed it off.
I think I forgot one.
Well, you see, as far as my recollection goes, they forgot a couple because they had Windows 1, then they had Windows 3.1, which is the next big one that I used. So they skipped 2, to the best of my knowledge. Now, that's probably not true, but at least in the general mindshare, 2 never happened. They went from 3 to 95, so that would have been version 4. 95.
So they skipped, so they skipped 91 so versions.
That's awesome. So they went to Windows 95 and then Windows 98. So that would have been version is actually like I think the kernel was version 4. Something. So it was basically 95 rehashed, done well, because 95 had some problems. It was commonly usable, but still had some problems. 98 was pretty good. NT brought the new kernel, so I guess 98 would have been version 5. NT brought the new kernel on the other side of the, you know, on the server platforms. And then you had Vista, or not Vista, ME, which was crap.
Yeah, which is garbage.
XP, which was awesome. And then Vista, which was mixed results. I never had any problems with it, but I know a lot of people did. Then you had 7, which was really good. I mean, 7's a pretty good operating system, especially considering it's coming from, well, Microsoft. But regardless, 7's a pretty good one. Then they come out with 8, and 8 is crap by pretty much all accounts, unless you're using it on a phone or a tablet. It is crap. So you think they'd come out with 9, and 9 would be good, right? And, instead, they came out with 10. So now I had a couple questions on this. First of all, is Microsoft trying to steal some of Apple's mind share by going straight to Windows 10 and comparing itself to OS 10?
Yeah, that was kind of where my thoughts went.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Or, since 7 was awesome, 8 sucked, 9 would have been awesome, are they going to go ahead and call it 10 because it's going to go ahead and suck? So, those are my two thoughts. However, I saw a tweet that just blew me away and summed it up perfectly. I actually retweeted it. It's by Jason Howell. At Jason Howell on the tweeters. Why didn't Microsoft just go right on up to version 11? Any self-respecting Spinal Tap fan would have appreciated that.
Yep, agreed.
And that pretty much sums it up right there. Yeah, that'd have been just money right there. But I did look at it. I looked at some of the reviews on it, and everybody's giving it rave reviews, which considering they're coming from 8... kind of skewed, I guess.
Yeah, right. They could have just gone back to 7 and called it 9 or 10, and everybody, the world would have rejoiced.
Yeah, rumor has it that they're actually might be giving Windows 10 away for free to all Windows 8 users. So, you know,
yet there's another play out of Apple's book.
Yes. It's pretty much what it comes down to, man. It's pretty much what it comes down to.
Yeah.
So, I look forward to seeing that. I might actually install that on a laptop I have lying around the house there somewhere just to play with it and see what's going on. The technical preview is available now at some website, Microsoft blah, 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 dot blah, 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 something.
Right.
But, yeah, I'm actually looking more forward to the official release of OS 10 Yosemite than I am Microsoft Windows 10.
So yeah, yeah.
I've had the beta since it was released, and yeah.
I'm interested in seeing what Windows 10 is going to be like. 8, 7. I have to agree with you. 8 was just complete shit.
Yeah, it was garbage.
Just terrible. I never used it on a tablet. That, you know, it might have been a decent interface for a tablet, but for a desktop PC, no.
Right.
just no. Yeah, but exactly. I also agree with you that 7 is a pretty solid OS.
Yeah. 7 was, XP was, you know, it's the in-between ones that nobody likes. Fantastic.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So, I don't know.
So, I don't know. I'm interested in seeing what 10 can do.
Yeah. I would really like to see the version number. I'd really like to see the version number match up to the kernel number, but, you know, let's not get particular. Well,
hey, let's not get picky. We got to consider marketing. Come on.
Right. So, well, we'll see how that comes around. And speaking of come around, we've received very little feedback for our show this week. Really, it comes down to none. So if you would like to give us feedback, if you'd like to tell us how we're doing on this, once it gets edited and gets moved on up, I forgot to mention at the top of the show, we are in beta 6, right? This is beta 6,
yes, this
recorded
is beta 6.
On 1 October 2014. Anyway. I'll have to edit that in later. We will take any feedback that you have. So you can hit us up at the Twitters at @RM_podcast and ritualmiserypodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, hit us up. I mean, even if it's just you guys suck, send it anyway. At least we know somebody's listening.
Yeah, and more than that,
hopefully, if you're gonna be critical, I hope that you at least give something constructive. Like, you guys suck because this.
Yeah, exactly. That would be way more helpful than just you suck. If we wanted to hear that, we could probably just try our hands at some game we're not good at, like.
Yeah, or we could just tell each other, like hey, Amos, you suck.
Yeah, well, you do too, so, screw off. Jerk.
Yeah, see, not very useful, so.
Yeah, not we useful at all, but if I said, dude, you need to stop picking your nose in the Skype video, and, that might be a little bit more useful. Oh, wait, that's me. Damn it. All right, fine. So, everybody has their problems, right?
Right.
All right. Well, Kent, where can we find you at, man?
The best place to find me right now is @RM_DelNoche.
You will get a hold of this. You'll get used to this eventually. This Twitter thing.
I am so new to Twitter. It's pretty much a foreign language to me right now. So.
Yeah. All right.
Not yet fluent.
I'm Amos. I'm Amos. You can find me at Ethan Kane with the tweets. You can follow the show, like I said before, @RM_podcast. You can submit your ideas on our subreddit, ritualmisery.reddit.com, or email us at ritualmiserypodcast@gmail.com. Our intro and outro music comes courtesy of Kevin McLeod. And for Kent, for myself, we appreciate you listening, and we welcome your feedback. Have a good week.
See ya.
I downloaded the Sandboard app. I haven't tried it out yet, though. I've been... I hate my life.
Oh, man. I just wish I never had to sleep.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great. I never had to be sober. That'd be awesome, too.
Oh, God.
If I could drink, if I could drink at work, my day would go by so much easier.
Oh, my God. It's so much faster. Oh, Jesus. God, that reminds me of Kunsan. Wait, what?